Hi everyone, I'm Mark Esper. Welcome to another instant no-spoiler reaction. Quite often we get to see films before they hit the cinemas. Sometimes it can be a few months, sometimes it might only be a day beforehand. Either way, we're now recording our instant reactions, and together with a monthly roundup podcast to see if we still feel the same way weeks later. Because sometimes there are movies that can change your mind. Have a listen now to our latest instant reaction.
Whew.
Oh, masks off.
Yeah, masks off. And that was The Northman.
That was The Northman,
yes. Robert Eggers. And, well, by Odin's beard, there was a lot of huffing and puffing and general, it shall be prophesied.
Oh, there was also a lot of shouting, a lot of screaming, fires, you know, a lot of drinking blood.
I think it was about like 2 hours before they had a conversation where there wasn't screaming.
Do you feel manlier? Have your testosterone levels kind of risen from like watching essentially a bunch of people half naked speaking about how they really want to get into the gates of Valhalla?
I'll never look at IKEA Swedish meatballs the same way again. Mm.
I mean, okay, so should we maybe, I mean, I don't know. I have to admit, I'm a big Robert Eggers fan.
Yep.
And I can't deny that I'm a big fan of The Vavitch, and The Lighthouse really surprised me, and I wasn't sure what to expect, and it took me on a ride. And I have to admit, when I saw the trailer for The Northman,
I think.
Okay, let's call the whole thing off. And basically, I have to admit, I'm not a big fan of these big Viking epics, you know, big fights. I mean, even the sword and sandals genre kind of thing, you know, doesn't really do it much for me. So I went into this with a little bit of trepidation. I don't know about you.
I was not convinced by the trailers at all. I had a feeling that, again, like that Mads Mikkelsen film,
Valhalla Rising,
where I wasn't blown away by that one either, but this one just seemed to be intent on, it looks really good. There's lots of drumming and gruffing and panting rather, but it's all about, it feels like Eggers is obsessed by ceremony this time around rather than plot or character.
I'd agree with that. I mean, should we give a quick plot synopsis maybe? I mean, because I mean, it is very threadbare plot wise. It is essentially very Shakespearean in that very kind of old kind of history plays, Macbeth, in the sense that essentially it is a king that is slain by his brother, surprise, surprise, mm-hmm. and the surviving son vows revenge, vengeance on his dead father's honour, and so on and so forth. And he grows up to become Alexander Skarsgård with his tiny head and massive body, and essentially just goes from being a prince to a slave to an avenging angel, and essentially very gladiator-esque in that respect.
Yeah.
I saw a lot of gladiator in that. I mean, for me, this is like Robert Eggers essentially desperately wanting to make the ultimate Viking epic. And in that sense, I think he succeeded, but I can't deny, like, for me, this was a film very much of two halves. I was bored out of my tree for the first half.
Thank you for saying that.
I genuinely, the first half, I was just like, Jesus Christ, get me, you know, by Odin's beard, get me the fuck out of here. Because going through the motions, it was very Shakespearean. It was something like this vengeance plot you've seen 1,000 times before. And to me, at the halfway mark, and then it got more interesting, and then there were more themes about escaping your fate, and essentially doing some interesting things, especially with the character of the mother, played by Nicole Kidman.
Yep.
And there were some really, really interesting moments. And then, for me, it kind of ruined it in the ending, which kind of let me down. But again, and as you've said very accurately, it sounds amazing, it looks terrific, the landscapes in Iceland are fantastic, it really is a feast for the eyes. And the way that his camera these long takes, the way the camera kind of just moves very slowly during fight scenes, during scenes of pillaging, I have to admit I was very impressed. But once again, I cannot deny that for me this was more style over any kind of substance.
I mean, not to spoil the plot, not to spoil the ending, shades of Star Wars episode, Avenge of the Sith, whatever it was.
Three.
Three, thank you. And nobody fell in, which is a shame. But Nicole Kidman steals the show.
And fair play to her, because her first line, I have to admit, it took me a while to get into the accents. And
the
thing is just like, you know, the rolled R's, the kind of bastardised kind of Scottish, Icelandic. I wasn't quite sure what they were going for. It's just like, how dare you enter my my chamber without knocking, son. And I have to admit, the second that Nicole Kidman opens her mouth, I was cackling away, just going, Jesus, this is going to be long. But you're right, she does then get to shine.
There is a pivotal moment, dramatically speaking, in this film, where it's very, for the first, as you rightly said, the first couple of hours, it's very ABC, cause and effect, cause and effect, cause and effect. And then we get a twist. And it's fantastic that she's the one with the responsibility of delivering the twist, and she fucking sells it.
She really does.
She pulls it out of the fire. It's great. But you're right, having got to the crest of the hill, unfortunately, takes us straight back down again. I'm sorry.
No, I agree. And it's interesting because, like, the second I was more with it, I was just like, actually, okay, this is deceptively more layered than I'd been led to believe. And I was really with it in the second half. And I can't deny that afterwards, my main issue is that it really just does essentially want to be just this massive Viking epic without that much going for it. I will say, for Robert Eggers, that it's something that I really appreciate in his films. When you see the Vavitch, mm-hmm. I mean, you know, he really commits to the language, to authenticity. And same goes for The Lighthouse, again, with the linguistics. I mean, you know, all of his films have a period setting.
Sure.
And are very, feel authentic. It feels like it's been very, very well researched. And I can't deny that here as well, like, you get the impression that Eggers has completely immersed himself in the lore, the traditions, the Viking kind of, you know, mythology. And it is, the film is about, you know, the mythologies that you choose to follow and how you create the myth of a person. And I did appreciate that, again, without trying to ruin too much of the plot. I did appreciate that there was a turn, as you say, a sort of twist through Nicole Kidman's character that makes you think, as an audience member, ah, I've been rooting for this person, this character, all along. Has this person actually been the one that I was supposed to root for? Yeah. And I enjoyed that. I enjoy a certain shift in perspective, but I cannot deny that it just kind of goes for the most obvious choice for the last act. And I don't know. And again, as a Robert Eggers fan, like, there were so many things, like mushrooms, ergot poisoning, trippy sequences. The trippy sequences and the use of black and white for the night sequences are brilliant.
But I was thinking about Field of England when that came in.
Yes.
And I was thinking, but it's funny, it's a film where I started to feel frustrated because as I was sort of watching it, I'm making notes in the dark, and I was sort of like thinking to myself, all right, if I kept one remark, one note that I've written down, this film tries too hard.
Interesting,
it's
okay.
It's trying too hard. It's so self-obsessed with being authentic that it forgot to sort of give a little bit of clarity, a little bit of purpose, a little bit of motivation.
Okay.
The problem was, in comparison to his first two movies, I was on board with the characters. I was on board with their plight. I was on board with their motivation. For the first hour, I didn't care.
Oh, same.
I just did not care.
Yeah. I know, it is one of those films that it really does. You have to kind of sit through the first hour before you actually get something under your teeth and something that is good. Again, the thing that kept me going was the style, was the fact that his use of black and white, his trippy sequences, and the fact that Robert Eggers is very, very good when it comes to a dream sequence or something like, you know, in The Vavitch, where there's, you know, all the witch kind of going for the younger brother, in the whole trippy sequences in The Lighthouse. Here, I liked that, but that was the only thing that kept me going.
But didn't you start getting sort of, certainly towards the end of the movie, Darren Aronofsky flashbacks to The Fountain?
Very much.
Thinking, you've been watching this film far too much.
Very much so. And it's a good comparison, I think, specifically when it comes to Valhalla, the Tree of Life, Yggdrasil, and all of that, that you do get a lot of Aronofsky for The Fountain. I was with that. I wasn't, you know, that is part of Nordic mythology. And again, with regards to the language, the runes, and stuff like that, he has really committed to his subject matter. But I can't deny that as much as I admire so much of it, I really wish he had committed to something a bit more daring in the second half that he really does tease. And there's really enough in the second half to kind of really get your teeth into. And then at the end, it just does become all about, oh, well, okay, we're going to fight, we're going to avenge honour and bloodlines and blah, blah, blah. And that's where I got bored.
I got bored just about, well, I was also unsure, that's polite, unsure about Bjork's appearance in this movie.
Right, because Bjork does show up in her first film role, I think, since Dancer in the Dark. Yeah, I could be wrong. Maybe she's done something else since. But yes, there's this kind of oracle figure, which, again, I enjoyed, and I got my Shakespearean kind of vibes from it. It is very Macbethian. But again, just like, if you're going to have Bjork, why not do something with her a little bit more? Like, I wanted that character to appear a bit more.
But in the styling and the presentation of a character, I kind of felt this is very Bjork-esque. I felt it was kind of done for Bjork's benefit rather than the story. And there is a shaman sequence after that,
yes,
a little bit later in the film, which kind of is there to remind the central character of his quest, but it wasn't that long ago. I don't think the audience has got that short of a memory. And it's not like the story is so laden with things competing for your attention that, no, could have cut it out.
Fair enough. I mean, it is a very long film. But again, I do find plenty to admire about this film, purely because I think that if I'd have been the kind of target audience, I mean,
but who is the target audience?
Right, because, well, this is the thing, and I think it is very niche, because I can't deny, like, I have met people who are very much into Nordic mythology and all of that, and they will love it, and I admire the film for it, because they will, that film, the Northman will give them something that they're looking for. Unfortunately for me, just again, just it's a bit of a missed opportunity considering some of the themes that he does kind of do in the second half and doesn't quite follow through with. And you know, as much as visually he is a very, very masterful director, I can't deny this is the Robert Eggers film that I least admire and enjoy, considering how much I like The Vavitch and The Lighthouse.
The third one, unfortunately, isn't a cinch in my book on this occasion. I'm kind of disappointed, because the first two films were so good at building an atmosphere and really kind of bringing you into the characters by sharing that atmosphere. And this one just bludgeons you repeatedly for about hour and three quarters.
Mm. No, I see what you mean. I can't deny that I was in the world, and the atmosphere building was there for me. Again, the characters I couldn't give two ravens about. But the thing is that
it's always handy to have a raven about when there's a...
Well, yes and no, because, I mean, you know, obviously Odin and his two ravens, and, you know, the fact that there is a very earthly, elemental kind of mysticism to it, which, that part I bought, But what really got me was that, unfortunately, when you have a very threadbare narrative and you do something interesting with it in the second half, bring it to a conclusion that might be a little bit surprising, yeah, or that might actually just kind of challenge the genre that you're operating within.
Yeah, I mean, it was nuts. I mean, it was intentionally nuts. I guess the point of the first half was to kind of get you to be in this kind of catatonic state that the character's in. Mm-hmm. But I was just overdone. It really felt like a film that was in competition with itself.
Okay. Now, that's interesting. And I have to admit, I think in the long run, and the more I will get to think about this film, having just literally walked out of it, I think the more I will admire it. I don't hate it by any stretch of the imagination. I just think that, annoyingly, it's just not for me and my personal tastes. And as much as visually, I genuinely think this is quite impressive and really, really well done, I think that in the long run, this will be one of those films that I will not go back to. I don't think I'll watch it again. And unlike his previous films, and frustratingly, just one which kind of left me with a little bit of a, that's where you were heading. Okay, fine. Okay, grand. But, you know, there were more interesting avenues to go down, yeah, specifically when it comes to themes of, the thread of fate, essentially, that you either choose to follow or you pick your own path. And this really didn't kind of do that well.
I think that point came up far, far too late. That challenging idea came up far, far too late for the central character.
Interesting. I thought that was fine. I thought, you know, because, you know, you are with him and you understand that his quest has been mired or has been blinkered because he chose a certain path. And now that he has all the information, does he go through with it? Again, in that kind of Shakespearean way of you know, the being shackled to your fate no matter what you do,
sure,
is interesting. And again, I mean, this is a very, very gory, very impressive take on Macbeth, really.
I mean, it's funny you say gory. I mean, it was gory, but not gory in a sense of, ooh, oh my God, they've gone somewhere that I didn't expect. It actually kind of felt safe, which is one of the reasons why I was thinking about stiffication and who's it for, because I kind of was sort of coming out of this and thinking, well, there's 13-year-old, 15-year-old males that really get off in this film, but if this stiffication isn't aimed at them,
no,
then who's come to see this film? Because it's not a date movie,
no,
by any stretch.
No, it's that much it is not.
So I'm just kind of thinking, you know, apart from cinephiles and...
Yeah, and I mean, people, I mean, and fans of Robert Eggers, I think that, with regards to the gore, I'm kind of glad that they didn't go, full hilt kind of thing, because I was expecting it to. And there are some sequences that, are not gory, violent, but I'm glad he didn't overdo it there. And I think that aspect I do respect.
Because that was the thing, because I was thinking about the gore and thinking, well, sorry, but modern day or latter day Ridley Scott nowadays is far more gory than what I'm watching here. Mm-hmm. And he manages to balance the action with storytelling. And this felt like a lot of action. And then, this thin sort of little wafer, thin thread line of storytelling.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I agree with you. Again, I think I may enjoy this film a bit more than I expected to. I think, but again, just because.
So here's the question.
Yeah.
How long will you leave it before you watch this film again? Will you watch it?
I don't think I will. Purely because I enjoyed, like I said, the trippy sequences, the use of black and white during the nighttime sequences, and how he kind of navigates those scenes, how the camera works throughout. I really enjoyed that. But this is not a film that I'll go back to, purely because, like I said, it's not a genre that I particularly adhere to or am
enamored with, yeah.
Yeah, and also because I have to admit, as much as I don't necessarily need a narrative, I am happy to go on if there's something else. But here, like, considering the missed opportunity there was narratively towards the end, I don't think I will revisit this one.
Because that's the weird thing. You've got some fantastic actors who don't really, on the face of it, get to act. They react. I don't see them acting. With the exception, again, of the aforementioned Paul and Mrs. Cruz.
Yes, Nicole Kidman. No, agreed. And I think, you know, it's a role that suits Alexander Skarsgård very well, sure, because of his physique and so on and so forth. I was very, very glad to see Willem Dafoe come back, who was in The Lighthouse. Same with Anya Taylor-Joy. That I really value these performers. However, it has to be said, like Anya Taylor-Joy, I really, really enjoyed this kind of, who is she? Is she what you would, later sensibilities would call a witch? Is she a Valkyrie? Is she something else? You know, because there is a mysticism that surrounds her and her bond to the earth.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, because it's all linked to him and his bloody quest for vengeance, that part kind of really didn't work for me because I didn't care.
No.
That was kind of it. So again, just not a film that I can completely get on board with. However, I do admire the fact that he like I said before, it's very well researched. He's immersed himself in this world, and if his goal was to create this Shakespearean epic of Viking vengeance, then he's done it very well. Just, it's not really for me.
No, I think on this one, he left me on the long boat.
Okay, fair enough, yeah.
So if you like that instant reaction, please consider signing up for more. By subscribing to our podcast, you'll be alerted every time a new instant reaction drops and when we're able to share it with you. Also, because sometimes a film can really start to grow on you, we'll be hosting an extra roundtable podcast to see if these initial feelings still hold true. So until then, please keep safe, and we look forward to seeing you on the next instant no-spoiler reaction. All the best.